Corporate Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on Word of Life, feeling frustrated. We're going to help you deal with those challenging circumstances and people that are frustrating you. Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising, relevant, hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
Do you find yourself feeling more annoyed or frustrated than usual these days? Maybe certain people are getting under your skin, or there are particular problems you are sick of having to handle. Or maybe you just find yourself more on edge than usual. Whatever it is, we want to help you find ways to overcome the frustrating, annoying, irritating people and situations that are getting you down. Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
And it's the big and the small, right? We never know these days. I feel like everybody's sort of dealing with some level of frustration, or at least have experienced it over the last year more than usual, with everything changing by the minute and everybody saying, I never imagined that we'd be going through anything like fill in the blank. And it's the big and the small. It's the larger global things that have disempowered us in so many ways, disempowered us from feeling like we have an effect on our culture, disempowered us from being able to take a vacation out of the country, disempowered us from knowing how to really run the lives of our children as their schoolwork and their school situation changes every minute of every day, and on and on and on. But there's also, like, just the little things that are changing by the minute, that get on our nerves, the relationships that are feeling kind of like, ugh, because nothing can change a lot. So spouses get on each other's nerves more. Parents and kids get on each other's nerves more. Even the conversations that we have to have with the relatives we don't live with can start to frustrate us and make us feel like there's nothing we can do. Whether it's the little things or the big things, let's talk about what effect you can have on them, how you can change things up a bit, and most of all, get some relief from that frustration.
Well, and we all deal with frustration or annoyance, and I think that for the most part, we just want to try to push through it. But there is a kind of a deeper spiritual thing going on there that we'll talk about in a minute. But I, you know, the most important thing, though, is realizing you're not alone, you know, in dealing with this, and that there are good ways to respond to it. The frustrating people and situations in our lives are actually an opportunity to step back and really reflect a little bit more on what is God calling us to in this situation and how can we respond better. And we want to help you deal with those frustrating people and circumstances gracefully. So give us a call at 877-573-7825 and let's talk it out. You know, I was just actually having a conversation with a pastor yesterday who, and I shared with him that we've been getting a lot more calls than even usual to CatholicCounselors.com and more requests for our counseling services. And he was saying, well, why do you think that is? And I said, well, you know, it's during this time, not just because of the pandemic, but because of the just cultural things going on in the news and all that, everybody's emotional temperature is running higher than it normally does. And so the things that have historically been, you know, irritating or off-putting for people that they would just ignore suddenly feel 10 times worse.
At least.
And in some ways, that's frustrating because you get enough on your plate already without having to deal with that stuff. In other ways, it's an opportunity to clear off the deck certain things that we just would let go before. And so, you know, I think that this is an invitation in some ways from God to look at some of those areas of our lives that we've just put up with and pushed through. And this is, you know, if you're dealing with that irritation or frustration or agitation in some way about someone or something, and it's just been this sort of chronic thing that's been, you know, irritating you for a long time, and you're not sure what to do with it, let's get that out of here so that you can have some of that energy that you've been burning up, feeling frustrated about that thing, and reapply it to, you know, other stuff that will be more productive to work on. 877-573-7825.
Well, I wholeheartedly agree with you when you say this is an invitation from God. This new level of frustration we're all in is an invitation to God. And I don't hesitate for a moment to say, if you're listening to this show today, he's probably extending that invitation particularly to you. Because what the invitation is to say, I need you, God. I can't do all of this stuff that's frustrating me by myself. When we're not frustrated, when we sort of have our physical and emotional ducks in a row, sometimes we're lulled into a sense of complacency about our spiritual lives. You know, it's like, I got this. I have my routine every day. I have breakfast at this time, you know, dinner at this time, pick up the kids at that time, do this on Tuesday nights, you know, and we just kind of plod along. And we don't have to look at things very clearly, and we don't have to invite God in. We often will just say, watch me, God, I've got this covered. I'm going to make you proud. Or we don't give him a whole lot of thought. But as we've gone through, as a world, more and more levels of frustration right now, and as our own personal frustrations in our own personal lives get a bit more tender and raw, it is an invitation from the Holy Spirit to say, I'm not God. I can't do all of this by myself.
Newsflash.
I need you, Lord. And it is a newsflash for a lot of us.
Well, you know,
we want to make him proud. You know, I often think of, you know, little kids who were like, I can do this by myself. And we want our parents to be proud, but we don't want them to come in and do too much for us because that wounds our pride and makes us feel little. And a lot of what's going on right now, this frustration, is God's way of saying, I'm a loving parent who's right here to help you through this, to give you new ways to do it, fresh eyes on it, to relieve your burden. I want to be here for you. And we need to, A, accept that, but B, then figure out what are the steps he does want us to take. And if you're feeling like you're frustrated or someone in your life is frustrated, and their behavior because of their frustration is driving you nuts.
It's frustrating you.
Yeah, exactly. You got it. We're here to help you deal with your frustration or their frustration or your frustration with them. We can help you through all this today and open you up to brand new spiritual paths of how to handle all that's going on in your life. 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
So once again, do you feel yourself feeling more annoyed, agitated, or frustrated than usual these days, either because of certain people or things, or just in general?
Mm-hmm.
You know, for that matter, are particular people getting under your skin, or certain problems you're just sick of having to deal with? We want to help you find ways to overcome the frustrating, annoying, irritating people and situations and emotions in your life. Give us a call. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
And if you hear Greg and I talking about this and your automatic reaction is, well, duh, of course I'm frustrated. Have you looked around?
No.
And you're thinking you're so frustrated you don't even want to talk about it. That's Satan getting in the way of bringing you healing.
That's right. It really is.
It's that level of course I am, and don't even, that level of frustration that keeps you from being open to God's grace. So the invitation is here. Let's get through whatever frustrations you're dealing with, big or small, or the frustration of other people's frustrations in your life. 877 573-7825. And as we enter into this topic on More to Life today and we look at the theology of the body, well, we see that we don't often think this way, but our emotions are actually part of the theology of our body. Our thoughts trigger certain reactions in our brain that sends a wash of chemicals through our bodies, causing us to feel a certain way and motivating us to respond to things that happen to us. The theology of the body reminds us that God created all the structures of our body, including our emotions, to work for our good and the good of other people. Of course, because we live in a sinful, broken, very broken world, our feelings don't always work the way they're supposed to. But there's actually a godly intention and a godly call hiding right below the surface of every emotion we have.
Well, that's right. You know, and what could possibly be the godly purpose of frustration or annoyance? Well, when we feel those things, we need to see them as a sign that the Holy Spirit is kind of tugging on our sleeve and saying, let's take a minute to talk about this and make a plan, right? our natural response to frustration and annoyance is to try to push through on our own power. And that touches on the whole pride thing you were just talking about a minute ago, Lisa. But have you noticed, you know, how often that just makes everything worse? You know, we're going to fix it. I'm going to do myself, you know, and then I make a total hash out of it, you know, like the 2-year-old that I'm emulating, you know. And to discover the Holy Spirit moving behind our frustration, annoyance, or irritability, we've really got to first step back and bring those feelings to God. We need to pray something like, Lord, you know, help me to see what you want me to make of this through me. Help me to see what you want to make of this through me.
Right, what he wants.
And how can I respond to this in a way that will glorify you, that will work for the good of everybody involved, including myself, and help me be my best self as well. And if we can practice that kind of prayerful, receptive spirit in the face of our frustrations and annoyances, we actually consecrate that frustrating person or situation to Christ, and he transforms it into an opportunity to experience his love, build his kingdom, and grow in grace. Now, if that sounds great in theory, but when it comes to you dealing with your kid that's getting on your nerves, or your spouse that you wish you could trade in for a better model, or that family member or friend who's driving you crazy, we are here for you at 877-573-7825. Let us help you deal with those frustrations, irritations, and annoyances that are stealing your peace and robbing your joy. 877-573-7825.
Let's go to our first caller of the day who's listening to EWTN Radio in Tennessee.
Hi, listener. Welcome to More to Life.
Hello. So we're dealing with our 14-year-old who's been going through a very tumultuous time over the past year. And my husband and I have been married for, it'll be 21 years this year. But dealing with her so much is really robbing us of our joy of our other three children that God blessed us with.
What is she doing?
I think the good question would be, what is she not doing? She's just very depressed. She was having suicidal thoughts, which turned into cutting herself. And we just learned over the past few weeks that she's turned to alcohol at the age of 14. She spent the night at her grandparents' house last week and stole a bottle of vodka and had to be transferred by ambulance to the emergency room.
Okay.
It's terrifying.
Of course it is. What are you guys trying to do to address this?
We got her a psychiatrist back in November, and she's on medication, which has been helping. And then she also goes to see a counselor once a week.
And does she do that on her own, or is that something that you and your husband are at least are involved in, or even you, your husband, and the other kids are involved with?
The counseling?
Yes.
We will meet with her counselor, like, for the last 15 minutes of the session, and just kind of get feedback. The counselor asks, you know, how things have been going at home and what we've been doing. If she's been working on her homework, the counselor gives her homework every week.
And you guys doing that together with her, or is that on her, is that her thing, or what?
What, the counselor?
The homework that she does. Do you do that as parents and child together, or does she just kind of have to monitor that herself?
No, the counselor lets me know what her homework is, and then I kind of check in with her each day to see how, you know, how's your homework coming today.
So let me step back and just ask you. So, I mean, you obviously, you know, this is terrifying and it's frustrating,
it is,
to say the least.
Yeah.
But you, and it's, you know, easy to feel angry at a kid for doing these kinds of things. But I want to ask you to just step back from that for just a second and look at the behavior. And I want to ask you, if you could put words to that behavior, what would you say that she is saying to you through those actions?
Help me.
Help me what, though?
To just be happy with the person that God made me to be. And she says that she prays constantly, and you know, for God to help her.
She's acting in ways, though, that are kind of, in a sense, pulling you guys in, right? You said to our screeners that you know, you feel like you're spending so much time worrying about her that you don't have time to think about anything else in the family.
Yeah.
What, you know, she's clearly hurting. Do you have any sense of what, you know, what caused this hurt in the first place? How long has this been going on, and what was going on around that time?
So she was at a sleepover. It was last Christmas time, and she watched this, unbeknownst to us, she watched that 13 Reasons Why. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of when it all started, and she was having these negative, you know, intrusive thoughts. And she couldn't shake it. And so that's
okay, but it wasn't the show. Okay. It was the show that triggered something that was going on inside of her. It either brought up some kind of abuse that she's been through, or it brought up some kinds of things that she's experienced. It raised something. And I, the reason I'm asking you these questions, you're not gonna be able to answer them in the 3 seconds we've got, or 3 minutes we've got left on the show, on the, you know, in the segment. But here's the thing I'm trying to get at. All right. The behavior is saying something, and the clearer you can understand what that behavior is saying, the better you can respond to the concerns. I'll also throw out this one other thing. You know, I'm glad she's in counseling. You're doing a lot of really good things here. All right. So you're on the right track. You're taking some, but I would really like you to ask the counselor if you guys could actually be part of the sessions altogether, because here's a couple of things. First of all, teenagers do not really do well in individual counseling. Even if they're at their best, they want to do the counseling. They tend not to have a hard time following through or going as deep with the homework as they need to. And they really need mom and dad to help them be able to do the work. But also, like I was saying, you know, by being an integral part of the treatment instead of just, you know, in the last part of the session being there, you can work together to open up those lines where she can communicate directly to you about what those pains and those hurts are instead of having to act them out. Because when she went to, you know, her grandma's house and stole a bottle of vodka and did this, you're right, she's screaming help, but you don't know what she's asking for help specifically with. You know generically, but you don't know specifically, and she doesn't have the language to be able to communicate that to you. But if you guys could be in session with her, you and her dad, you know, together, that would give you an opportunity to figure out how to talk back and forth about what that pain actually is and what she's really asking for. So I would really encourage you to talk with your counselor about being more integrally involved in the therapy. And also, when she acts out, after you've had a chance to calm down a bit, I'd like you all to get together and say, I need you to help me understand. Okay, just step back and say, I you reinterpret her behavior. You say, I believe that you are trying to say something to me. There was something going on there that you were either thinking about or that happened to you, and you didn't know how to say it to me. Or maybe you were afraid I wouldn't be able to hear it. I'd like if you could just take a minute and use your words to tell me what was going through your head and what you wish you could have said to me or could have said to anyone that made you instead grab that alcohol or do that thing. or whatever that was. Give her the space to calm down and for all of you to be calm and to just talk through what was going through her head and what words she would like to put to those behaviors. Then bring that back to the counselor and keep working on that. But the big challenge for you in dealing with your frustration here is making sure that you are helping her see that the behavior is a language. And the better you get at giving her the opportunity to reflect and communicate with words what the behaviors are trying to point to, the better you're going to be able to respond to treatment and help her through this time. If there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us here on the show. And thank you for calling in. You're doing a lot of good stuff already, but I think these suggestions will help you get even more benefit out of the work that you've already started. With that, we have to go to break. When we come back, we're continuing to take your calls about frustration. We'll also be joined by Damon Owens of Joyful Ever After, who's going to be sharing with us some insights about the spiritual significance of our frustration. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues after the break.
Would you get on a plane that doesn't have a pilot? Investing in passive index mutual funds may present the same issue. The Ave Maria Mutual Funds are actively managed by seasoned investment professionals to help you meet your investment goals in a morally responsible way. Ave Maria funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors could invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Fund. You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
You know, maybe we need to ask ourselves, do we really know Jesus? Maybe another way to ask that would be, how familiar are you with the Gospels? When I was living in D.C., I was on the plane taking a late flight home, sitting next to a young girl. She was probably 16, 17. I had my collar on and we got talking, and she said somehow in the course of the conversation, she acknowledged that she was running away from home and was in the midst of an awful lot of difficulties that were going on. Her story seemed to be remarkably akin to the story of the prodigal son, which we just heard this past Sunday at Mass, huh? And so I started to speak a little bit about that with her. And I said, you sound a little bit like the younger son in the story of the prodigal son. And she looked at me like I was from Mars. And I said, are you not familiar with the story of the prodigal son? And she says, no, never heard it. And I just looked at her and I says, oh my goodness, are you in for a wonderful evening?
More to Life is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization. Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 80% of the referral check to Ave Maria Radio and Students for Life. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and we're taking your calls today about dealing with the frustrations and annoyances in your life. If you've got a frustrating person or a situation you'd like to talk through, give us a call at 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Damon Owens from joyfuleverafter.org is here to share with us what our faith can teach us about dealing with frustration. Hey, Damon, welcome to More to Life.
Oh, great to be with you guys. It's a great topic, one that none of us can avoid. I think it's been around since Genesis 3. But I think, you know, part of dealing with the specific issues, you know, thinking about your last caller and each of us, the frustrations that happen on a daily, if not hourly basis, you know, maybe opening up the hood just a little bit of what does our faith teach, what does maybe the language of the theology of the body help us understand about the human experience of frustration. And I offer this, you know, both in the light of that and also in my own experience here that, you know, frustration fundamentally is about not getting our way. And so in many ways, it's a reaction, whether it's intellectual, emotional, or just human, to things not going as we plan. So there's an indication there of a self-will. There's an indication of expectation and hope and desires. But there's also a twinge there and a recognition, I would even call it a little bit of an emotional tantrum, if you will, that we have in frustration where when these things don't go our way, it's the reaction to it. And it's the sense that our self-will, our self-reliance, our power, our ability, and really what I would call a swollen sense of the self that really comes to the front. And it's not an accusation as much as it is an indication that there's a space here for what John Paul II calls receptivity. And you speak about this a lot, that the self is not to be annihilated and we're not to be this, you know, this non-self person. That's not human. But the self is meant to be part of communion. It's part of something greater than ourselves. So the act of countering this exaltation of the self and the sort of tantrum is to release this sense of self-reliance, self-will, and offer it back and as a gift. So self-gift becomes in many ways an antidote, if you will, to this tantrum of frustration.
You know, I appreciate what you're saying here, because it's underlining some of the points that we were making earlier about, you know, there being an invitation underneath the frustration, and that invitation specifically to turn toward God and to bring those things to God instead of trying to power through it all on our own strength.
Yeah, and I think if we even parallel to what we've talked about before about anger, where, you know, the anger in itself is this facing, this emotional and intellectual encounter facing injustice. But then that invitation as well is to, where is the injustice, where is the justice, and then where do I direct my will to it? And to your point, the invitation of frustration is, how can I be more open to you, Lord, and to others instead of my own will?
Damon, I want to thank you so much for being with us today. And if folks would like to learn more about your good work, they should go to joyfuleverafter.org, joyfuleverafter.org. Folks, we are taking your calls about dealing with the frustrations and annoyances and irritations in your life. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
Bishop Robert Barron on the priesthood.
Vatican II teaches that every baptized person is a participant in the threefold office of Jesus, which is priest, prophet, and king. So as priest, Christ is a sanctifier. He effects a reconciliation between divinity and humanity, right, by his great sacrifice on the cross. Every baptized person does indeed participate in that, in the measure that we all have that calling to reconcile divinity and humanity, to bring God to people and people to God. That's true of every baptized person. Vatican II further specifies that the ordained priesthood is different, not only in degree, but in kind. And it has to do with the identification between the ordained priest, I think, and the Mass, and a unique relationship to the sacraments. Every baptized person has a task of reconciling divinity and humanity. The ordained priest does it in this sort of heightened sacramental and Eucharistic way.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Does Jesus always answer our prayers? The Catholic Catechism says yes. Jesus always answers prayers offered in faith and quotes our Lord who said, "Your faith has made you well. Go in peace." The Catechism cites three examples where Jesus reacts to three different kinds of prayer. The prayer of faith is expressed by the leper, the Canaanite woman, and the good thief. The prayer of petition is exhibited in the action of the bearers of the paralyzed man and the hemorrhaging woman, who is healed by merely touching Jesus' cloak. Finally, urgent prayer is heard from the lips of the blind men. "Have mercy on us, Son of David." This is remembered today as the Jesus Prayer. "Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner." St. Augustine parses this prayer thusly: Jesus prays for us as our priest, in us as our head, and is prayed to by us as our God. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Hi, this is Dr. Greg Popchak. When you have conflict with your spouse, how do you react? All couples have disagreements, but your reaction to that conflict can be the difference between a happy and an unhappy marriage. Here are two common relationship-killing habits to avoid. Number one is expecting your spouse to read your mind. This easily leads to negative communication and anger that escalates the conflict unnecessarily. Take the time to identify this in yourself. Verbalize your thoughts. The second relationship-killing habit, withdrawing from the conversation when your spouse complains or criticizing. This could be a sign that you're bored or apathetic toward your spouse's feelings.
A better approach would be to participate in the conversation, making sure your spouse feels heard. Gain mastery over these two relationship-killing habits, and you'll be one step closer to living a truly exceptional marriage. For more tips on how you can effectively resolve conflict in your marriage, visit moretoliferadio.com.
Thanks for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today we're talking about frustration and annoyance and irritation. Do you find yourself feeling more agitated than usual these days? Maybe certain people in particular are getting under your skin, or there are particular problems you're just sick of having to handle. Whatever the situation is, we want to help you find ways to overcome those frustrating, annoying, irritating people and circumstances that are getting you down and stealing your joy. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Julie, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Missouri.
On Covenant Radio. Hey, Julie, welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi, good morning. Well, my frustration is not near what that last caller's was, so I will pray for her. My frustration is with my husband.
Okay,
and
what's going on?
He's aloof. He's like, you have to call his name five times. The kids have to call his name five times. He's just like, I don't know where he is in his own head. But he's not on the spectrum. He doesn't have ADD. He has no health issues. So I'm about ready to wring his neck.
Oh, Julie, how long has this been going on?
Forever, probably, but it just seems like it's getting worse. Or maybe I'm just losing patience. We've been married for years.
For how many years? You cut out for a second.
Oh, 16.
So you've been married for 16 years. You say it's getting worse. Is it that you're noticing it more, perhaps? Like, has he been around more during this whole year of,
no,
you know?
No, I think that, like, my kids are getting older, and I've always been on them for listening. And it's like, he's worse than our kids. So I think I'm just like...
And how have you tried to deal with this with him?
Well, after we call his name several times, I'm just like, gosh, it's so rude.
Okay, so you yell at him in the moment, but I guess what I'm getting at is, have you ever sat down with him and said, hey, look, I want to understand what's going on here. You seem really clued out, and I don't understand where you're at and what's going on and how we can fix this.
We've been in marriage counseling even over it.
Okay.
He doesn't know. He's going to try to get better.
When you say you've been to marriage counseling about it, talk to me a little bit more about that. How did that go? How long were you in it? What did you learn from it?
I don't know. I mean, really, I felt like it was kind of one-sided. She was on my side about things, you know.
I don't know.
But then there's also, you know, there's, I don't know. He just, like, he wasn't working. He wasn't looking for a job for a while, and that's when we started going. He's working now. But I was working three jobs, and so.
Okay, so what you're describing to me.
Trying to help him.
What you're describing to me, though, Julie, is a man who's depressed. I mean, when you're talking about, and he was more depressed whenever he was shutting down and not looking for work and all of that, but he's still depressed, and he deals with his stress by checking out. What you've got there, I'm almost 100% certain of, is perhaps an undiagnosed depression that's still needing attention. You experienced some benefit there from the initial round of marriage counseling, but this still needs to be addressed. So my recommendation to you would be that you need to get back into marital counseling, and specifically, though, to deal with what I think is an ongoing depression with him, where, you know, he's, you know, as you say, he's flooded, right? Okay, what you're describing is behavior when our bloodstream is sort of filled with that adrenaline and that cortisol, okay, that are part of a stress. Adrenaline is a hormone that ramps you up. Cortisol is a hormone that sort of makes you stuck. And so together, you feel like you're sitting in the driveway with the parking brake on and the gas pedal pressed to the floor. And you're just revving all the time, but you can't do anything. And a lot of people respond to that feeling by just zoning out all the time. And that's what you're describing, right? So it's not so much that he's being rude, it's that he's overwhelmed all the time by we don't know what. And unless you figure out what that is and work together to figure out how to respond better to it, he's going to continue being checked out.
Now, I want to say that checked out that you're perceiving as rude, you know, that is very hard to deal with as a spouse. You have your own needs, you have your own frustrations, you have your own desperations, especially during this time, and you want your partner and companion to be there for you and to be a good father to his children, and him checking out can be very, very frustrating. I need you to reframe that frustration from he's really getting on my nerves to, wow, if I'm getting this frustrated, he must really be going through a lot. This is God's way of telling me I've got to step up here and make an appointment with a counselor to have this dealt with. Somebody who can help him with his depression, but also somebody who can help you figure out how to get your needs met and how to deal with this to back up the work that he's going to be doing to alleviate the depression so that you can all come to a better healing.
Which is, you know, which again is why I'm recommending marital counseling as opposed to just individual therapy for depression. On top of that, though, a practical suggestion for a way you could intervene with him instead of just yelling at him. When you see him being checked out, I want you to go to him.
Yes.
And I want you to say, honey, you seem really checked out right now. You must feel pretty overwhelmed by something. What's going on? Can we talk through it? You know, you're say, you know, hey, listen, your kids were asking you a question. Can you just attend to them? And then after that, then you say, you seem really checked out. What's going on? Obviously, you've got a lot going through your mind. I want to help you through this. Talk to me. What's happening?
And I also want to say, even when you're not having to get to the third time, or a way to keep you from getting and the kids from a third time, is a basic dynamic that we suggest even when you're raising small children, right? I'm not trying to diminish your husband here. It's just a better way of communicating. When you're really trying to get his attention and something is important, just like it won't really pay off if your kid's sitting there, let's say you got a 7-year-old and he's staring at a TV screen and you're like, okay, it's time for dinner, and he just doesn't get it. It's not going to help anybody, especially you, to just scream louder at the kid who needs to come for dinner. It will help if you walk across the room, put your hand on his shoulder, get his eye contact, and say, hey, sweetie, I know you're watching the show, but you got to pause it. It's time for dinner. Well, in that way that you'd make a better, more loving contact with a child who's distracted by a TV screen, it would help if you approached your husband the same way. You go over, you touch him on the shoulder, you get his eye contact, and then you talk. Because until then, you're just going to be elevating your own emotional temperature, and you're going to go offline and not be able to fix anything.
Now, if you feel frustrated by that advice, let me just offer one more kind of bit of insight, and then I got to let you go. I like to describe what you're talking about here as a lack of emotional bandwidth. Now, when it comes to, say, you know, watching a movie online or doing a Zoom call or whatever, I don't know if you've ever had the experience of those things buffering, right? It just kind of shorts out a little bit. And that's because you're uploading or downloading too much information at the same time, okay? And it overwhelms server, right? Well, that's what's happening in his brain. He's got so much going on in there. There's so much uploading and downloading at the same time that when somebody talks to him, it buffers and it doesn't connect. And unless you can kind of step in there, or somebody can step in there and say, hey, honey, what's going on? Talk me through this. Okay, help me understand where you're at. Let's talk. And he might say, I don't know at first, because he's just spinning out. That's right. Take a breath and let's talk about it. What happened today? What's going through your head? What are you worried about? Ask some of those prompting questions. Be a little caretaking. Help him get a little more bandwidth by seeing that you want to be there to support him, not criticize him for being overwhelmed.
And it sounds probably irritating to hear that, because you're thinking, I'm not getting my needs met. He's not being respectful. But if you come alongside of him in that way, then he feels safe enough to make those connections with you. So really, it's the way to go. Take those steps in your home. Take the steps to get into good marriage counseling, and you can begin to really turn this around.
But just yelling at him about it, it overwhelms him even more.
And it overwhelms you and the kids.
I understand why you're doing it. I completely understand why you're doing it. But that approach is going to make is going to use up even more emotional bandwidth, which is going to make him clue out even more. So I hope that makes sense to you. And if there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com or call us back here on the show once you've tried some of these things. 877-573-7825. We are talking with you today about the things and people that are frustrating you, getting under your skin, causing you to just feel like, this again? What? You know what I'm talking about. 877-573-7825. With that, let's go to our next caller.
We're talking with Rebecca, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Michigan on Ave Maria Radio.
Hi, Rebecca. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi. I didn't hear the last caller's question, but some of your feedback might be very helpful. It seemed great. My situation is I'm trying to better understand how to deal with my husband.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me a sec.
Oh, it's okay, sweetie.
Okay.
It can be very rough to think about and have to try to formulate it into words to put on a radio show. We're here, and it's okay. Tell us what's going on with you and your husband and what's frustrating you.
Okay. I just need to be able to figure out how to better help him because he is definitely overwhelmed.
Okay.
Okay.
What's going on?
I know the caller screen took some history as far as he's got some conflicts with several family members. First of all, it's with me. We got married 7 years ago, and we each had a child from a previous relationship, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the idea was I was going to start working right away to help support the family and, of course, pay back a mountain load of student debt. That didn't quite happen. I think I had just a lot of stress and psychological issues just from finishing graduate school and things like that, and I just needed to be settled down in the new married life, getting to know my child who had been, you know, separated from to finish my schooling and things like that, and to get to better acquainted with my husband and his my stepson. However, we had more kids. I didn't get back to work. I'm still not in work. And our expenses have increased. So, of course, he feels extremely overwhelmed on top of paying out child support. So it's just living paycheck to paycheck for years and years. Now he's got a conflict with his son, who's a teenager, who is at risk of just failing out of school right now. And lives with a mother who's more, she's got a lot of issues. So I understand that he doesn't have the academic support there. And he's been at risk for being kicked out of school because of just getting into some bad behavior with another student. And it's shocked my husband. It's drained the relationship. I don't know why I feel like I'm telling our whole family.
Well, it sounds like there's just one thing after another that you guys have not had the time with building your family and everything going on to really sit down together and make a plan on how to handle each one of these things and feel like a team about it rather than both of you just saying, well, what can I do? And I can't do this because I can't do that because of this circumstance and the frustration's building. Does that feel right when I say that?
It's part of it, yeah. I just also know that, again, it sounds like I'm blaming my husband. He's just got a slightly different, difficult temperament. I mean, that probably might be something more to talk to a counselor.
That's one of the things I was going to say is, you've got a lot going on here, and it's obviously more than we can deal with in a call. But I absolutely agree with you that this is definitely a situation that's going to require family counseling.
And it's good that you, by calling and saying this thing and having to kind of consolidate it, that God gave you that insight, that, wow, this is really 7 years of a lot of stuff building up, and we need somebody to help us sort this and come up with solutions.
That said, in the shorter term, what I'd like you to do is going to take to heart what Lisa was saying about really not being a team in this and having been in a place of kind of reactivity for all these years, right? And I would like you to sit down with your husband and say, and your kids really too, and say, listen, guys, we've been going through a lot and we're kind of at each other's throats. What would it take for us to be a better team and to get through the day feeling like we're actually taking care of each other? Now, that might be a conversation that once you have that initial conversation as sort of a family meeting and say, what would it look like for us to be a team that was actually taking care of each other every day? And you write down some of those suggestions, what everybody would, and they might first, they might roll their eyes or say, I don't know, or whatever, but stick with it. Because, you know, the kids really want to know that you are interested in taking care of them, and they want to know how to take care of you guys, too.
And if they come back with very broad ideas, right, so I'll pick one out of a hat here. If they say, well, if everybody just spoke nicely to each other, well, it's great. If we're not speaking to each other well, and we want to speak to each other more kindly, what would that look like? And actually write down some phrases of things that you can use when one is frustrated with another and how to address each other. So you're brainstorming together. Even the act of doing that is going to calm people's emotional temperatures down and make you feel more of a team instead of as adversaries.
Another way to get at that information is to ask the question, you know, when we feel like we're getting along a little bit better, what do you guys think we do differently? You know, how do we approach that day differently? What do we do differently when you feel more cared for or more taken care of? The point is, you know, I'd like you to have that general conversation, and then I want you to refresh it every day. And so when you get up in the morning, okay, guys, what do we need to do to be a team today? How can we get through this day and handle whatever's on the plate or on the schedule and still feel like we're taking care of each other in the process? Now, some families might need to break that down even further. You know, I've had some families where they have that conversation, okay, we're all awake now, what are we going to do to take care of each other between breakfast and lunch? What are we going to do to try to make sure we're taking care of each other between lunch and dinner? What are we going to do to try to make sure we're taking care of each other between dinner and bedtime? However you need to do it, keeping that conversation going, asking that question on an ongoing basis, and then really following up on it is going to change your family dynamic pretty dramatically in a relatively short period of time. I still think you're going to need the counseling, especially to deal with the quote-unquote temperament issues that you mentioned about with your husband. So this isn't going to solve it all.
But it's going to give you real information to bring to a counselor. So when you get past your initial session where you've given your counselor this history that you're just trying to give us in the few minutes we have on the radio, you've given her the history, then you can start sessions by saying, this is what we did this week to be a team. This is how we address these issues.
Well, this is what we tried to do.
This is what's working, but this is what's not working. What can we do? So you're very actively building toward what you want instead of being submersed in what's just not working all the time, which is what you're asking for relief from. And that's great. That's the Holy Spirit telling you that He's going to heal this. When we respond to the Holy Spirit and we say, all right, you've prompted this in me. You've helped me to recognize my frustration. You've put a yearning in me for something better. We have to count on the fact that once we open ourselves up and say yes to that, He's going to show up. We might have to do a bit of work, but if we ask Him to teach us what that work is and we keep responding, that's opening the door to the Holy Spirit and letting Him fix things. So this is actually acknowledging this today is wonderful, and you're opening a door to God bringing His healing love to you and your family.
Rebecca, thank you so much for the call. If there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com to learn more about our counseling practice. If you've worked with somebody locally in the past, feel free to reconnect with them. Otherwise, thank you so much for your question, and I hope that these suggestions will get you started. We got to go to break, but before we head out, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3.
You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you.
You know, I think that this is a real kind of a short but very poignant bit of advice for all of us dealing with frustration and annoyance. When we keep our minds stayed on Christ and trust in him, that doesn't mean ignoring the problems. It means facing those problems and challenges in a new and more graceful way, confident that the Lord is working with us and in us and through us.
Well, and I want to emphasize here that in Isaiah, he's talking to God. You know, he's not saying, you, person over there in the corner, be at peace. Just think about God. He's saying, you, Lord, keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts you. So just as we were saying a moment ago, this is, we say, Lord, I want my mind to be on you. I want to have the life you have for me. I want the good that you want to bring to me. Now please come into it and show me how to heal this. It's the Lord who's going to give us the peace. We have to invite him in.
With that, we got to go to break. When we come back, we're continuing to take your calls about dealing with frustrating people and annoying situations and how to reclaim that peace and confidence. 877-573-7825. More to Life. We'll be back right after this.
This Ave Maria program is brought to you in part by the nonprofit CMF Curo. If you're facing uncertainty with your current health care plan, now is the time to join CMF Curo. You can join any time during the year, and CMF Curo offers flexible Catholic healthcare solutions for individuals, families, and employers. CMF Curo is your personal healthcare advocate. Contact them today at mycatholichealthcare.com. That's mycatholichealthcare.com.
The EWTN home video highlight for January is A Wolf in Sheep's Clothing 2, The Gender Agenda.
For two centuries, the ideologues of socialism or communism have used deceptive word jugglery to rebrand themselves as liberals or progressives.
Order your DVD at EWTNRC.com, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, or call 1-800-854-6316.
Hi, I'm Al Cresta. Over the last 50 years, we've had some of the greatest popes since the Reformation era. So why are things such a mess in American Catholicism? How do we analyze and confront the attacks we're facing? How do we identify wolves in sheep's clothing? How do we re-evangelize the baptized? Dr. Ralph Martin makes sense of a church in crisis and shows pathways forward. He'll make sense of a disordered world. Go to AveMariaRadio.net and you'll find it in our online bookstore.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 15 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to More to Life. I'm Lisa Popcheck.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck, and we're talking about frustration today. Let's talk it out together with our next caller, Linda, who's calling from Michigan, listening on Ave Maria Radio. Hey, Linda, welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi, thanks for taking me. I know we're at the end of the break here, the end of the show. Mm-hmm. So my question is, I just need to find out how to keep my husband on the argument, the task of the argument, instead of switching it. Now he goes here, it's there. The topic is this, and stay on this.
Okay.
Great question.
That is a terrific question, and thank you so much for focusing, because you're right, we have about 2 minutes. So here's a good way to handle that. Like, a lot of times when we get into arguments with people, just like you said, you know, all of a sudden their mind starts to wander, and they bring this in, and they
bring
that in.
Every bit of history that ever happened.
And sometimes it actually applies, and sometimes it doesn't. And this happens to me in counseling a lot, because people get worked up, and they're trying to tell me their story, and all of a sudden they start kind of like bringing in all kind of random bits of stuff, and I have no idea how it all fits together. So what I do is I step back and say, you know what, I've heard everything that you've said. Now, help me understand how that relates to this thing that I thought we were talking about. Right? And I'll say whatever, you know, you started out by talking about, you know, your problems with your son, but then you started telling me this other story about whatever. Can you help me connect those dots? Because I'm not sure I see how those two things go together. And then there's this sort of weird moment where they just, it's like scratching a record, and they say, and this is how it connects, right? And then they actually connect the dots, or they say, oh, you know what, that doesn't apply at all, I'm sorry, I just sort of went off on a tangent, and then I can say, okay, well, let's get back to talking about your son then, Right. And the same thing's true for you. You know, your husband, he's getting worked up, so he's bringing all kinds of stuff in. Some of it may actually be relevant, but he's not doing a good job of explaining it, you're not catching it. Or he's just going off on a tangent. Respect that by just saying, look, I thought we were talking about thus and such. Help me understand how what you're saying relates back to that. Make him do the work of connecting the dots or admitting that he went off on a tangent. And that's going to help you keep things focused without you having to work too hard at it. Because as soon as you start working too hard at it, then you get frustrated because you're responding to every leech, every individual little thing that he brings up, and then you get confused and lost in the shuffle. So make him do the work of bringing it back to the topic at hand, and that'll focus your conversation. Great question, Linda. Thank you so much for that call. And if there's more we can do for you, don't hesitate to reach out to us here again on the show. That's all the time we've got for today's program. If you'd like to learn more about all the resources we have to help you handle frustration more effectively, come visit us at CatholicCounselors.com. And then get out there and celebrate the life God has for you, because with God's grace, there is so much more to life. Have a blessed day.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.